Father, we thank you that we can come together as a family in Christ this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your presence here with us, Lord, that we don't come to you as orphans, Lord. We don't come to you as beggars, God, but we come as co-heirs, Lord, with Christ. And we come with an understanding and with a confidence of your faithfulness, Lord, and your willingness to, when we draw near, that you draw near to us, God. And we thank you for your presence here, my Holy Spirit. And we open our hearts this morning to what you want to minister to us, God. And we want to minister to you in terms of thanksgiving and praise and worship, God. And our Father, we just humble ourselves this morning. We ask that the seed of your word will be good seed in our hearts and good ground in our hearts, Lord, and will be a good fruit to your glory, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, we spoke about, one of the things we mentioned is about the power of God with us to change and his ability to change. And so this morning, a message from Pastor Fred really inspired me around this. So I'm going to preach around what he was sharing about, and it kind of adds on to that what we discussed a few weeks ago. And have you guys heard of the movie Pay It Forward? Yes, okay. So it's this film about a young boy, what, 8, 9, older? Any case, primary school, and he gets an assignment. This class gets an assignment that they need to do something that they are able to do, to turn something that they find negative, to turn it upside down. They need to change the world. Okay, so they get this assignment to think about what are the things that they can change, what is in their power to do to change, to have a positive change, and to change, to impact the world. And this little boy, what he does is he decides, he's got this plan, right? He decides he's going to do a really big thing, a favor or a big positive thing for 3 people. But it has to be big, okay, in his capacity. And then all he's going to ask of them to do is to do the same, to do something really significant as far as they are able to, for 3 other people, right? So what happens is there's this whole chain reaction that starts, and I enjoyed the movie. Funny enough, if you think about it, we can't take it too far, but when Christ came to the earth, this is very much what he came to do. He came to start a chain reaction of love and passing on love and passing on and giving love and giving life, passing on blessing, the chain reaction that would impact the whole world. And so this morning we're going to look a little bit around that, and we're going to start with another little boy that also had an impact on his environment. Let's have a look at John chapter 6, from 5. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Now we see a well-known recording of one of the miracles that Jesus did. And if you think about it, quite a serious crowd of people. It could be they say, and this one is recorded in all four of the Gospels, and they say 5,000 men. So it could have been anything between 5,000 and 25,000 people, if you count women and children, etc. And what we see is a very interesting thing that happens, and we're going to pull it apart a little bit and look at what happens, and look at a few specific points here. And the first thing in terms of the power to change and our power to change, it starts with the willingness to be sacrificial. Okay. Now, for this little boy, and this is why God tells us to become like children. You know, when we quickly look at Matthew 8, Jesus said, and he said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And what is it that children do that adults don't do? Adults, we live in the real world, right? But children play. And what children love to do a lot is they do role play. I must say, I really enjoy Abigail starting to do that now. And the other day we made food for a little doll. She got a little feeding chair from somebody as a gift for the doll. So first when Anna brought it home, I thought, it's a little small for Abigail, you know, she's, it's not for Abby, it's for the doll. So these days, everything, there's a small pram and a small feeding chair, and we haven't got nappies yet, so she just uses her own nappies for the doll. So in any case, so we made some food, and we were stirring, and we were, you know, blowing the food, and then giving it to the little doll and everything. It's amazing. But it's funny enough how you don't have to, you know, you can play with her, but you don't have to initiate. She's keen to role play. And that's what children do. Children do role play. And what the amazing thing that happens when we role play, when children role play, is they develop the capacity that each of us have from God to step into somebody else's shoes. Okay, so whether, you know, you want to, whatever, you know, you play mommy and daddy, or you play cops and robbers, or whatever it is, you stepping, those children, you know, step into somebody else's shoes, and their whole imagination, everything works together to help them to experience life like that person would. You know, whether it be a superhero, or mommy and daddy, or maybe these days daddy and daddy, and hopefully not. But in any case, so, you know, The amazing thing there is the capacity to empathize is developed. And the capacity to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and to look at life from their perspective, and to put yourself into somebody else's spot, and to really experience life, or to empathize with who they are and where they're at. And this is a very powerful thing, a very powerful ability that we have and that we develop in that role-playing thing. But unfortunately, it seems when we get into the real world, we get serious and we stop doing this. And, you know, God actually, you know, Jesus says that we should become like children again. And so what happens is when we develop this capacity to role play, and this capacity to empathize, is we, that develops in us is the heart of God to empathize, but not only stay at empathy, to take it one step forward towards in terms of compassion, and not only compassion in terms of from afar off compassion to a point where we take action. And this is a key in terms of us experiencing God's desire us walking in God's mandate for us to change the world for good, to change the way things are in our community, to change the way things are in our country. And so empathy is great, and compassion is good, but it has to be taken that one step forward to a place where we actually act, where there's activity happening. Okay, are you with me? And this we see here with this little with this little boy. And we'll take it a bit further and pull it apart some more. But what we see here is in the film, there's the pay it forward film, there's an idea, right? This guy has an idea, this boy. And this idea changes a lot of lives, okay? There's quite a big impact in the film. And, but now this is fine in terms of the movie, but in reality, what is it that makes for real change? What is it that brings about that place where somebody's life is actually changed? And that happens when it's not just, an idea won't change the world, okay? Let's just be honest. It's when we take our little bit, our little loaves and fish, and that's now taking our compassion and empathy to one step forward. We're doing something now. We're bringing our contribution to the table, okay? And when we bring our contribution to the table, that's when the miracles start happening. But specifically when that little boy and when you and I bring our contribution and we give it to Christ, that's when the miracles start happening. Are you with me? So that little boy, he's got something, and he empathizes, so he brings it, he's willing to give it, but the miracles start happening when he submits that, when he brings it to Christ, and he puts it in the hand of Jesus, and he says, okay, you can have it. And that's when the miracle starts. So it's not when you and I, in our own strength and our own wisdom, try to make stuff happen, and this, I think most of us have experienced this, that's not when the real change, when the real life change happens, is when you and I say, okay, Lord, this is what I have. I put it in your hands. You know, I submit it to you. That's when the real change happens. And obviously a lot of people achieve a lot of things in life without the power of God. In the worldly context, amazing things. But the real life change, and supernatural life change, happens when we submit that to God. Okay. Now, the another thing we have to look at this morning is, you know, there's a willingness to take a risk when we do this. Because there's always a chance that we're going to be rejected. Or, like Franz was saying, you know, when you step out on a limb like that and you obey God in a way like that, it's... You need to be secure, right? You don't have kind of rejection issues because of this fact that yes, I think most of us have probably experienced this. We've helped somebody, or we've given something away, or you've stepped out and you've given it, and then you know the response wasn't what we expected. Maybe there was no response and not even a thank you. You know how we are. Like, oh, I went out of my way and I did all and I didn't even get a thank you, etc. And that is a risk. That is a risk that's part of this equation, right? There's a risk that when you and I step out and we give something away, we say, "Yes, Lord, I've got this, and I believe this is what you're telling me to do. I'm giving it to somebody. I'm giving it away. I'm stepping. I'm making a contribution. I'm stepping into somebody else's shoes. I see the need, and I give something." There is a chance that we won't give anything in return, and that's why it's very important. This is another principle here, is that we understand that our contribution and what we bring to the table, whatever it may be, is precious to Christ. It's very special to Christ, okay? And this is key, guys, because we, in worldly terms, we tend to measure stuff in terms of value, in terms of maybe financial value. And this is one of the things I've learned on mission. And funnily enough, I'll touch on that a bit later again, but you know, going to India and ministering in poor areas. Now, poor in what we know here in the UK is poor, and poor in India, not the same, all right? Quite a world of difference there. But what we experience is, now, firstly, we come, obviously, everybody on the team is, yeah, we, most people there, you know, come from, we're at varsity or university, so guys are blessed, okay, we're fortunate. So now we go there, and I remember us sitting in, we did specifically the one day, we did house meetings. So we went from house to house and we would cram into these little rooms, like one room. This is the house, one room. And we would cram in there and we would have fellowship and we would pray, etc. But what the miracle or the amazing thing that would happen is every place we go to, and these people basically have nothing, right? They have like one room for their family. And you can see this is not a posh area. This is poor, okay? And then they take that little nothing that they have and they give everything. They put out snacks or they make food for you. And you can see now this is probably their food for the week. And now they're bringing it and they're giving it. Okay, now... And this is where I learned. Firstly, I learned that I'm getting ahead of myself now. Firstly, that for us to be able to give, we need to first learn how to receive. Okay, and in that situation, Ali will remember this from when we were in India. That you're sitting there, and this person is giving you, you know, probably their food for the week. You cannot reject that because that. That thing that they're doing is so precious to Christ. And in terms of value, in terms of worth, you cannot measure it. And so it's absolute key for us to realize, okay, for me to be able to give something, I must first be able to receive something. Humble myself and allow God, allow that person to give in a way that is sacrificial to them. Even though I might not need it as such, or perceived to be able to need it. But and this not is not always going to be in terms of stuff, money or food or things. Okay, it can be, if we're talking very much also in terms of spiritual impartation. Okay, let me just backtrack a little bit. So that contribution is precious. So and the value of it is not, we cannot really measure that. Okay, so it's precious to Christ. And for us to get over that place of possible rejection or possible not getting anything in return, we must understand that we must see Christ as the first receiver. So what are we actually doing? We're actually giving it to Christ. It's something I received. It was never really mine. I'm now, and I'm giving it to Christ. I'm giving it, I'm doing it as unto God first. Are you with me? Let's quickly look at Matthew 25:40, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Talking about little things, little acts of service, little acts of feeding somebody or blessing somebody. And Jesus says, listen, I take this very personally. When you do this, you do it unto me. You do it as if you do it to me. And I receive it in that way. I regard it as very precious. And then at the same time, if we quickly look at, in terms of that contribution, Mark 9:41. Whoever gives a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, surely I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink. So when we receive, we must know there's a blessing immediately for that person. In the same way, when we give, there's a blessing immediately. God rewards, God blesses us when we do that, when we step out there and we give something that we have received. Now, in terms of this little boy, and this is maybe on the day, the mom wasn't in the picture, but there's a hero behind him, the mom that made sure that he had his lunch there, right? And for us, it's the same. There's always a place where we have to receive first. So he, you know, he was probably on his way out saying, well, I'm going to go and look at, you know, see what this crowd is up to, following this Jesus guy that's come into town. And his mom says, okay, that looks, could take the whole day. Just hang on a minute. I'm just going to make you something. You know, moms are. And let me just find the foil. Let me just put this in a little package for you. I see the kids bring these little lunch boxes to church as well. Must get myself one. But you know, grab this lunchbox. And it's because that boy just paused a moment and wait, you know, and receive what his mom had for him. Maybe too much for him, but too little for the crowd. But that, in fact, enabled him, receiving that from his mom, enabled him then to pass it on and to be in that place at the right place at the right time. So there is a place of us being able to receive first. And unfortunately, specifically in the charismatic church, we often tend to get spiritually arrogant and proud. And that means we come to a place where we think, you know what? We've got it. We've got the answer. The way we do things is the way everybody should do things. No, church down the road doesn't have a clue. We know. You know, and there's this thing that creeps in, this pride and this arrogance, and that grieves the Holy Spirit. Because then we know to humble in a place that we can receive from anybody and as if we're receiving from Christ. So there's a place of humility that we have to get to as children, to be like children, to receive so that we can give. And in this case, like for instance, if somebody wants to pray or if somebody wants to thank you, if somebody, you know, we have this thing that we do when somebody thanks us, no, it was all God, or it was just, you know, specifically when you're ministering or something like that, people thank you. And we have this thing, this false humility that says, no, it was just God. But actually the person is just giving something. They're giving gratitude. And we need to be able to receive that. Okay, so whatever it is, whether it's somebody that wants to pray for you, whether it's somebody that wants to bless you with something, the power to get to a place of humility to receive it as from Christ then enables us to pass on the blessing. And I want to really encourage us. It's something I, maybe by the grace of God, learned quite a while ago in terms of physical things. Often we learn these things physically before we can experience it spiritually. But being a place where I had to humble myself and receive things from people, and I must say, just such a blessing when you've just kind of realized, okay, this is how God has chosen to minister to me now, and I'm going to receive it. Wow, what a just liberty in that, to recognize, wow, this is coming from God himself. This is from the heart of God. Whether it comes in the package that I thought it would or not, to receive that blessing from that person and to honor God in it as well. Okay. Next thing that is required here is for us to adopt the heart of a steward. Okay, so immediately when receiving something, we realize, yes, I receive it and I'm grateful for it, and there's a blessing for the person that's given it, but I'm only managing it. So I'm continually thinking, or I'm living like, in terms of me being a conduit of the blessing of God. So this is not a dam, right? This is a river. This is not a reservoir. This is a free-flowing river of life that we're talking about. So there's continually life coming in and there's life going out. And such a, you know, when we live life like this as thinking of ourselves as conduits of the grace of God, conduits of the blessing of God, there's a capacity for rivers of living water. If we get stuck in the real world, we kind of only see things from our perspective, we don't even recognize anybody's need around us, and we kind of get isolated to a place where we cannot even receive from God anymore, then we don't have that place of giving in anymore either. So coming to a place of being a channel of the grace of God, a channel of the love of God. And this can be in something very simple. This can be in a physical things, or it can be in a prayer or an encouragement. And this is, guys, this is something I've experienced that it requires us to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I'm talking about, us being like children, being able to empathize with others. Because when we're in the real world, things are happening and things are busy and it's hectic, we tend to go into survive mode. And that means I only think about what's important for me and my family. And there's nothing wrong with that in itself as wanting to be the provider, etc. But God wants us to live, doesn't want us to live in that survival mode, because then we can't empathize. Okay. So yeah, this is really, and this is one of the shifts I'm trusting for us this morning, to really connect to the place in us that we can receive, but also to the place for us to empathize with others again. And as I mentioned, let's quickly have a look at Matthew 10. This is, I'm reading from the Message. Now, this sounds weird because we just prayed about a mission team, but just bear with me. Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers, and don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Okay, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do missions. It means we can start in our own neighborhood. Okay. Don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, the confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Freely you have received, and freely give, other translations say. So we see this river of life happening. Freely we have received from Christ. Freely we can give. And when we get this picture, and I want to just, in terms of physical things that I've experienced, at one stage, I'll just give little examples that help us to get this principle, right? I remember when I got my first job in the Air Force, first salary, very exciting. One of the first things I bought was a mountain bike. Okay, so I bought a mountain bike because I was going to go down to Stellenbosch, and obviously there's mountains there, so got to have a mountain bike. And at one stage down the line, God laid on my heart to give this thing to somebody. Now, other cycles, it wasn't the top of the range, okay? It was a South African manufactured mountain bike. But in any case, for me, it was very precious, okay? And it actually quite good. But now that God laid it on my heart to bless somebody with it, and I did. And guys, it's funny, but in that little thing, just little act of obedience, started a chain of blessing in my life in terms of bikes. Now, I don't know why it's like that, but never again since that first one did I buy a mountain bike. Every time, not a huge thing. But the principle is true. There's this chain of blessing that happens. Every time I give it away, I get blessed with another one, and it's happened quite a few times. One time it was stolen. Okay. But the Lord returned that blessing as well. But every time, and it's happened a few times, that I felt like, okay, I need to bless somebody with this bicycle, although it's precious to me and it really, I'll enjoy it. I bless somebody, and in due season, then I receive something again. And in that way, and in this, like I said, it's not only with stuff. It's very much in terms of spiritual impartation, where you and I receive a blessing from God, and then we open our hearts to pass it on. And the challenge with this is often it's only when we step out to bless somebody that we actually realize what we have received. It's often when we only step out and are deliberate in wanting to bless and wanting to pass on, that we actually see what we have received from Christ. One of the things that I need to really be bold in is praying for people that are struggling to fall pregnant. Because we struggled for many years, but God has blessed us. Now, second time, right? So we have received something in the area. So whenever I meet somebody that is struggling to fall pregnant, I say to them, listen, can I pray for you? Because I've been freely received in this area, so I can freely impart that blessing. So that this and this is a continual chain of blessing that happens. Okay. And now this the principle of being a steward means that the only reason why I can actually give, the only reason why I have a contribution is because I've received it from God in the first place. Okay? So that principle of everything that I have, everything that I receive from God, I manage it, I steward it so that I can pass it on, so that I can impart it to somebody else, so that I can bless somebody, so that I can be a conduit of the blessing of the grace of God. Are you with me this morning? Now, the key here is it has to happen by faith. Okay, we have to add that very specific ingredient. So for us to do it by faith, means it's a deliberate, conscious act of faith. Okay, so I decide I'm going to step out now, possibly make my name, or you know, make a fool of myself. But I'm going to approach this couple that I know is struggling to fall pregnant. I'm going to say, "Get up, pray for you." Or I'm going to approach somebody that I know is struggling or that is in need of something, and I say, or maybe the Holy Spirit lays somebody on my heart. Say, "Would you like? Don't you want to just pray for this person?" Stepping out of that comfort and out of the, you know, over my fears, deliberately, consciously stepping out in faith, saying, "Okay, I believe I've received in this area, or I believe I can now impart a blessing on this person." So, in effect, the focus is not on me in terms of what I can give to this person. The focus is on what Christ has done, and now what I can impart. And this is probably the biggest key for this morning, guys, is for us to come to a revelation that this is what life is about, is receiving from Christ and then giving again. If you think about it, if we break it down, whether it be in discipleship that we've been talking about or so many ways that we have received from Christ and now we can give. We've received life, we can give life. We've received blessing, we can give blessing. We've received finance, we can give. We've received whatever it is, now we can give. So if you and I walk out of this place with that picture in our mind, then I'm happy. The fact that we continue to receive from Christ, we are able to receive, and because I believe some of us struggle with that, so we need to trust God for that. So able to receive from God, but then also to impart again in spiritual impartation, in prayer, in blessing, whatever it is, to impart. Pastor Fred mentioned this testimony they heard from a guy in Sweden, apparently a successful businessman, and he got a word from God. He's an intercessor, and he got a word while intercession. He felt God saying to him that he should go and take a lot of all of his assets and put them in make them liquid, put them into cash, and then he gave him an address and a name, and he said he must take it there. Right. So, God, what he did do is he checked up, does the address exist, and then yes, it did check out, and yes, the name that he got, those people were living there. Okay, so then I knew, okay, this is it. So he did what the Lord asked him to do, and he went with a big bag of cash because he was quite a wealthy guy. And he just opened the door, said, "Are you this person?" And said, "Yes." And then he gave him, and he just turned and he walked away. And apparently, when he got home, I think the next morning, the reality of the situation struck him and realized, "Well, no, this has come real implications." You know, and he says that morning was when him and his family really started to live a life in Christ, in the Spirit. Because although they lived in a huge house in a well-off neighborhood, they now had to trust for milk and bread. And apparently it came to their door every day. Were random ways. Like food, like basic stuff was coming. In this posh neighborhood, this huge house, people were bringing stuff. Just inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he's got amazing, I would actually want to read the whole thing at one stage, but by the end of that year, he was Businessman of the Year in Sweden. Just by miracle after miracle after miracle of what God did out of that place of obedience. But again, yeah, it is that place where we say, okay, I believe this is what God is laying on my heart, and now I'm deliberately stepping out in faith to obey. That's when the miracle starts to happen. But the challenge here, this is one of the another key here, is that what we often tend to do, I'm not saying you guys do it, but say for instance, Henny, come quickly. So Henny, I want to bless you with this water.
Is it yours?
I want to bless you with this water. Have some. And I say no, you're drinking it too fast. You should you don't do it like that. You know, let me just show you. But if you really want to get the blessing out of this water, you should chill it, put it in the fridge, and then so we want to give, and then we hang around, and we want to manage. We want to manage the blessing. I said, no, you know what? This is how you do it. And you know, if you want to really get the benefit, thanks, Annie. You can. Okay, that didn't work. I didn't learn to receive any. No, just kidding. But so we want to stick around. There's a bit of a control freak in us that we want to stick around, and we want to say, no, this is what you should do, this is how you should do it. But the key here, one of the keys here, is to when we give, like this guy did, no conversation, no chit-chat, no, I heard from the Lord, just here you go, have a nice day. We turn around and we let the miracle continue. Amen. So we tend, instead of wanting to see what is the response, wanting to see what's happening, wanting to see what's the effect, we need to learn to say, okay, Lord, this is your instruction, this is yours, there we go, praise God, and I walk away. I'm not concerned about the reaction, I'm not concerned about the response, I'm not concerned about whether the person burns the cash in the backyard or pours out the water, whatever. I've done what God has required me to do. Are you with me? And this is the key. For us, when we learn to do that, to turn around and walk away, that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon that contribution and broods on it, and that's when miracles start to happen. Because now we don't have a finger in the pie anymore. God can do what He does best, and that person's life can really be changed. So I want to encourage us. That means Scripture speaks about let your left hand not know what your right hand is doing. In other words, it's really very much a fact of no strings attached. Do it and walk away. Let it go. It's like the picture of the postman, right? The postman doesn't stand and wait for you to see if you open your mail. Or you're going to pay. No, there's a bill in that one. That one. That one is the important one. Yeah, I should open that one first. No, it just comes in through the door a lot with lots of junk with it. No, I'm just joking. I should put one of those stickers there. It says, can you avoid all those flies with a no junk mail thing? Any case. So the mail comes in. He doesn't wait. He walks off. Is it only our postman that wears shorts in this weather? Is it like a general thing? Is it just ours? Is it standard? In any case, I try to take a photo. It's probably not legal, but I tried to take a photo and then it was snowing. And it was like, but in any case, no, he doesn't wait to see what I do with it. He's professional, so he just leaves it. Okay, so that's the attitude we need to do. I've received it from God. I pass it on. And then it's up to God to continue to do the miracle that needs to happen there. Amen. Now, two things can go wrong here. Firstly, that thing, our inability to let go and let God. Where we want to kind of hang on to it. We want to try to manage it. We want to kind of hang on to something of that. Say, for instance, that guy with all the cash, right? What we tend to do is the moment that word comes, we would start bargaining with God. Okay, Lord, but maybe I should just keep this bit aside, or maybe, you know, what we can do is if you do this for me, then, you know, I can be obedient. Please don't do that. Okay, so it's just and this is a difficult bit. And for me, learning it with little things like a bicycle was precious because I could just, and I remember Erna, we were actually just, we weren't engaged yet, we were just dating. And I was after my one bicycle was stolen, one that I'd been blessed with after being blessing somebody else with another one. somebody gave me a really nice one. This was like the, and every time it's like a step up. It's really cool. I got one yesterday. But okay, I still have to put it together, but it's a frame. It's like a carbon frame. It's beautiful. In any case. But that one was the best one I'd had up to then. It came from Germany. And, I remember I really enjoyed this. Okay. And then I said to Anna, I really feel I must give it to this guy. And she looked at me, because this is my transport. Okay, I didn't have a car then. This is my transport. This is my sport. This is my hobby. You know, everything. And she couldn't grasp that. Because the next day, it was it. And she thought she could, maybe she could still convince me to do something else. No, I'm just joking. But, I remember her saying later on, it was just so quick. I said, this is my conviction. And then, by the grace of God, I could just respond. Maybe it's because I know if I think about it too long, I probably won't do it, okay? And this is the thing. Don't rationalize. Don't think about it too long. Respond to what God is saying and go with that. And I remember there was a time, we were blessed with a car. And again, we received the blessing. And then when we moved to over here, we sold the car. And then God laid on our heart to bless somebody in a specific way with most of the cash that we got for the car. And again, it was a matter of don't think about it too long. But again, so there's a cycle that happens, but for us to turn around and to walk away is very important. Let ability to trust God with what he's telling us to do. Okay, I need to close. And then secondly, importantly, is to think soberly about our contribution. Let's quickly look at, if you can skip the next one, we can go to Galatians. Galatians 6. Sorry, guys. It seems my slides and your slide don't look the same. We'll have to go back to the other funky presentation. Okay. Galatians 6, 3-5. If you think you're too important to help somebody, you are only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. You won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. We are each responsible for our own conduct. So there's a place of looking at us, a contribution soberly. Okay? So our contribution is precious to Christ. Okay? It is very special. But it is not more special than anybody else's. And it's not less special than anybody else's contribution. Okay? And this is something we must get in terms of the value of our contribution. You can't compare it with the person next to you. That's what the enemy tries to do, okay? And so he tries to want us to compare, and then because we think it's not, my contribution is less worth or worth less than somebody else's, then I don't give it. Are you with me? So he tries to paralyze us into a place of isolation, into a kind of a dam where no living water comes in or out, and it just rots. I think soberly about my contribution. I realize it's only because I've received from Christ that I can give, I can bless. And it's not better than anybody else's but no less worth than anybody else's either. Okay. And so we're talking about God wanting to change the world through us. And we're talking about how does it work? And in terms of this continual chain of blessing, like I mentioned, the enemy wants to kind of isolate us to a place where we firstly aren't able to receive, and then secondly, we aren't able to pass it on. And because he knows we've got a God that makes sure we've got a lunchbox with us all the time. And this is the key we must understand. God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Got some support here from the side. He's given us everything. So in terms of this picture here, he makes sure our lunchbox is stocked all the time. So there's always there's always a blessing that we can pass on. There's always a contribution that He's blessed us with that we can pass on. Okay. So don't fall for that thing. Don't look at your neighbor and think, yo, you know, that guy's so spiritual. When he lays hands on people, you know, they get healed on the spot, legs grow back, or whatever. I'm just going to let him do all the praying. It doesn't work like that, okay? I've told you the story about my first time praying for a deaf person. It changed my life because the whole team had to minister. Was it a mission trip? There was a word of knowledge for deaf people to come to the front. Nobody came. Okay, this is an old joke. I should stop that. But so then the people brought people to the front that they knew were deaf, and then some that were only deaf in one ear, they came. But the key that I'm mentioning this again is that everybody in the team had to pray for somebody, right? So most of the team were there laying hands on people. Most, I think, probably praying for a deaf person the first time. You know, is there like a special prayer? What do you do? But the powerful thing is whether you'd been born again for 2 days or 3 weeks or 6 years, everybody got healed. Amen? Everybody got imparted the blessing that God had for them that day. And that's the key, guys. Don't compare yourself to your neighbor. Don't compare yourself to the guy next to you. But be faithful with what God lays on your heart and be bold in saying, okay, I can lay this on the table because I've received from the King of Kings. I've received life. I can give it. Amen. Stand with me this morning. We're going to pray together. And guys, I want to say to you, in my life, when I have stepped out and been obedient to these little things, even as France was testifying before. Thanks for that, France. God is not mocked. He responds. Amen. And I'm not saying if you've prayed for a sick person and they didn't get healed, that now God's confused. All I'm saying is God will respond to your prayer and to your faith and to your contribution immediately. But don't step into the point of being a judge and judging what the outcome should be. Okay, and that's where the challenge comes in. Do what you need to do and walk away. Amen. And what we underestimate is the gifts and the impartation that we have already received. And I want to say to you, if you have had an experience, if you are in a living relationship with a living God, You sit to experience this river of living water because you received life from God and freely you can give it. Freely you can pass it on. Freely you've received love, you've received acceptance, and freely you can give it, you can pass it on. And often we underestimate that what we have received. I want to challenge this morning. There's a few of us here that need to connect with that place in us that is able to receive, whether it is somebody, you know, bringing you food or a hug or a blessing or thanking you for something. I know some of us here need to say, okay, I need to receive. I need to be able to receive from God. And to be honest with you, when I've trusted God for stuff, whatever it is, but basically 100% of the time it comes in a way that I didn't expect. So it comes maybe through a person that I would prefer it not to come through this person. I say, no, Lord, you know, really. You know, couldn't it have been maybe somebody else? But to recognize this is the blessing, this is God ministering to me, and to honor that person, to thank them for it. So there's a place where you can connect with being able to receive, but also being able to step into the place of empathizing with others again. Stepping into somebody else's shoes, doing the role play again, becoming like a child before God. And the thing here is God wants to say to us again, just imagine. God wants to take us again to that mountaintop and have us look at the promised land that he has prepared to say, I want you just to, for a moment to imagine what is possible in the kingdom. What is possible if the kingdom would come in this time? What would be possible? Just imagine for a moment if the abundance of life that we have received, the blessing, the healing, the restoration, the deliverance that we have received, if we were able to pass that on to our community. Just imagine for a moment. And that I want to trust us to this morning to again to connect with the heart of God in that place, where you can say to us as our dad, just imagine for a moment. Let's just imagine what is possible. Amen. Let's pray together. So, and just to close, this morning it's not about our contribution. It's not about our performance in terms of, you know, what I can do, what I can bring, but it's about being a conduit of the blessing, being a steward of the blessing that I've received. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for hope again. We thank you for an encouragement of your word. And I just pray specifically for hearts this morning. We, some of us here that need to be released, Lord. We need to be released of a burden, whatever it is that keeps us from being able to receive, God. I thank you for this morning for it, that you shift something, Lord, that you help us to connect with that part of us that is able to receive from you, God, that is able to freely receive so that we can freely give. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for I just come against every fear, Lord, fear of rejection from you or fear of failure. That keeps us from receiving, Lord. That makes it, that blocks that river of water, that living water that you want to pour out into our lives. And I thank you this morning. I just thank you, God, just for a capacity, Father, for us to trust you, God. To trust you, Lord, to receive, but also, Lord, to trust you when we have to give it away again. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Lord, we just come against, I just bind every fear that keeps us from trusting. We take authority over it now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, fear, in the name of Jesus. And right now we thank you, God, by the Spirit of God, that your word says that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for a capacity to trust you, God. Thank you that we grow in our ability to trust you, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for a release this morning of ability to trust and to receive, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I just also want to pray for something very specific. There's one of the, we're chatting to some of the pastors in the Cape Town region. We kind of connecting Pastor Tiens and the guys quite regularly. And one of the things that they've picked up across Shofar congregations, and specifically having traveled around and ministered a lot, Tiens mentioned this. He said there's an assignment to bring discouragement, okay? And this sounds very spooky, but basically what it is, it's the enemy sending, coming at us as a body, a shofar as a body, as a larger body, and to trying to discourage us. So what's happening is large congregations are getting discouraged and small ones, and whatever season the congregation is, there's this discouragement wants to come in. So this morning I want us to pray specifically against that. And I want you, if you have been experiencing that kind of thing, of discouragement, just to be bold and to come forward, and we'd like to just lay hands on you and to break that thing. Because it's an assignment, it's not from God, and we want to deal with it. Amen. So we're going to pray against that now, but I want us to, If you're here this morning and you need to be released to receive from God. So if you don't have a relationship with the Father, the fullness of life where you have been experienced life and you've been born again and you've received the gift of salvation. This is the first gift that we need to receive. I want to say to you, today is an opportunity for you to take that gift of salvation, to receive that gift of salvation, and And basically then to be able to receive what God has for you and to be able to pass it on. So if you don't have that yet, that gift of salvation, if you're not sure about your relationship with God this morning, I want to encourage you, don't put this out. Come to the front. We'd love to pray with you so that you can have an assurance of salvation, so you can know, I'm a child of God. I've received that gift. I'm a born again child, son of daughter of God, and I can now walk in this road, walk in this chain of blessing. And secondly, basically, if you're not part of the chain of blessing, if you don't experience this life coming in and life going out, then I want you to come forward as well. We'd love to pray with you. Okay. So there's a lot of stuff, but if you've been experiencing that discouragement as well, I want you please to be bold, come forward. It's not a thing to be ashamed of. We've prayed for a lot of guys even at the leaders' meeting in Wimbledon the other day. Because this is an assignment that is on the whole body, okay? So be bold, come forward, and we're going to pray for one another and break that thing, okay? Let's just close, but after, I would please want you to come forward. If any of those things apply to you, come forward, and we'll pray for you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for an impartation of life this morning, God. I thank you, Lord, for a capacity to impart life again in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for a shift this morning as we walk. We step into the cycle of life and blessing and rivers of living water flowing in and flowing from our innermost being, God. I thank you, Lord, that your name be glorified, Lord. Your name be exalted in our community, Lord. Wherever we go, that life will happen, Lord. That people will flourish because we are conduits of your grace and conduits of your love, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.